Thank you for letting me speak to you guys tonight. Hopefully this will be good information, and it will strengthen us all and help us all. Dave, could I ask you to say a prayer for me?
Father, we ask that as you are guiding Paul tonight and his thoughts, that you would guide our thoughts as well. Help us, we pray, to give full attention to what he has to present. Please guide his words. Please guide us as we listen, that we might not drift away in other thoughts, but stay with him and what he has to present from your word. Help us, Father, not only to have information, but formation, that your word shape us into the kind of people that you would have us to be. We pray, Father, that we might be able to say after we leave tonight that it was good to have been here for our souls, for our lives, for your purposes within. To you be the glory and all, Father. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. Well, my sermon is called God's Enemies. Who are God's enemies? James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." What this says is everybody who chooses not to become part of God's family or a Christian is God's enemy. These people may not understand or know that they're God's enemy. They are God's enemy nonetheless. We cannot let people believe they're okay with God just because they do good works or they think they lead good lives. Only God is good. We are all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God cannot tolerate sin. Without Jesus, we live in sin, and we are God's enemy. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." People often say to me, "I want to be free to live my life as I want to. I'm not ready to accept Jesus. It is too much responsibility for me right now. Maybe later on in life when I'm more mature and ready to be like Jesus." To that I say, Jesus is our only hope for salvation and to be forgiven of our sins. Do we have time to wait, enjoy our lives, become more mature, or will Jesus be coming before we're ready to accept the responsibility? Matthew 24:44 says, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Our God is a loving and faithful God who keeps his promises to us. We see this throughout the Bible in various stories that are written for us. Once again, our God cannot stand sin. God has made a path back to him for us through Jesus. God has provided the blessing of heaven. God keeps his word about what will happen if we disobey him, as we see throughout the many stories of the Bible. God told Adam and Eve not to eat the forbidden fruit in the garden. They ate the forbidden fruit and were kicked out of the garden and cursed. God told Noah to build an ark of a certain length, width, height, to bring in two of every animal to be saved. To bring in two of every animal to be saved, and Noah obeyed God. God brought a flood to the earth that killed everybody except for Noah, his family, and the animals gathered in the ark. God told Abraham he would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was able to save Lot and his family, but Lot's wife disobeyed God and was turned to stone. Our God is faithful, loving, full of grace and mercy. God does keep his promises to us. Throughout the Bible, there have been many times where God has made covenants with the Jews, the chosen people. One such covenant was after their 40 years in the desert, where they had been freed from the bondage in Egypt. The covenant provided blessings for obedience to God, curses for disobedience. We can look at these blessings and curses and understand that we are living under the bondage of sin. We now have a new covenant where we have been given Jesus, the Son of God, who offers freedom from our bondage of sin through Jesus' death on the cross. Reading Deuteronomy 28:15 through 68, we find it's a warning to the Jews of Israel about being disobedient to God. And they had been roaming the desert for 40 years. Basically, God had done everything for them. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. He provided their food. He took total care of them. But, you know, I'm only going to read some of the curses, but here they go. Basically, 28:15 I'm starting with. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I have commanded you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, your children, and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall be you when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send you on cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make a plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword and scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens, which are over your head, shall bronze, and the earth which is under your shall be iron. And the Lord will change the rain of the land to powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. You shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And you shall grope noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall only be opposed and plundered continuously, and no one shall save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from you, from before you, and you shall not be restored to, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to rescue them. Basically, I could go on and on. There's a lot of curses here, and you can see that God is very serious. So what is the result of sin if our family, our friends, co-workers, people we meet on the street continue on that path of disobedience to God? You know, in the Old Testament, it was these curses. In the New Testament, people who don't believe are cursed to hell. If we read Matthew 25:41, then he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Lazarus and the rich man is a story that appears to be talking about hell and being in torment that I want to read now. Basically, it's Luke 16:19-31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in the fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received many good things. You received good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is in comfort here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm, which has been fixed, so that those who want to come from here to you cannot, nor anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. What can Christians do about the non-believer who awaits a horrible, senseless death of eternal life in hell? I mean our family, friends, co-workers, and people we meet on the street who do not believe. We have to tell people about Jesus. They must hear the word from us. We need to be traffic controllers, redirecting traffic from hell to heaven. By telling people about Jesus. And why do we do this? We do this because we're a royal priesthood. We are God's possession. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10 says, But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We should be like the Apostle Paul. Romans 1:16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. We must also remember what Jesus said, Matthew 10:32-33. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will also disown before my Father in heaven. The Great Commission, it's Matthew 28:16-20. Basically, it's our job. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You might say, I'm not good at talking with people. And I'd say, pray to God about it. Ask for help. It is still our job to tell people about Jesus. Even if we are timid, remember, that old timid self is dead. Timothy 2:1-7 says, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So what does God want? 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9, The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God wants us all to be part of his family and to love him. Jesus became sin for us to make us righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became cursed for us. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole, He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. We were locked in sin under the law without Jesus, Galatians 3:22 through 29. But the Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Children of God are justified by faith. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we no longer are under the guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for all of you are one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The kingdom of heaven is perfect. Jesus said you must be born again to see the kingdom. Jesus is the door we walk through. John 10:7. Therefore, Jesus said again, verily, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. The Bible does not call us church members. It calls us citizens. Why? Because we are born, just as we were born in a citizen in America, we are born into God's kingdom. Ephesians 2:19, consequently, you were no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. This is our proving ground where we prepare for heaven. These are scriptures that point to work being done by us. God wants us to live life as if we're in heaven. Once again, once you accept Jesus, salvation is not an issue. You're saved. We must share the word with others. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, dear brothers, sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. John 9:4. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. John 4:3. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes, look in the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the world, in the whole world, as a testimony of all to all nations, and then the end will come. Romans 2:6. God will repay each person according to what they have done. Romans 2:7. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. God blessed his children of the Old Testament times. In Deuteronomy 28:13, these blessings that God provided to Israel for their obedience to God after 40 years in the desert. God is faithful to his children. I'm going to read the blessings. His children of the Old Testament. God is faithful and will bless his people with heaven. Excuse me. The key words here are, it's up to you. It's up to us to obey. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, I will give you today the Lord your God will set you above high all the nations of earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hands to. The Lord God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people, as he has promised on the oath. If you keep his commandments, the Lord your God will, and walk in obedience to him, then all peoples on the earth will see you that are called by his name, the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to the ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens and the storehouse of his bounty to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commandments of the Lord your God and that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. There are many reasons, many excuses why people don't believe or accept Jesus as their Savior. These are some scriptures that might be used to help you answer some questions. God's handiwork is all around us. People have no excuse not to believe. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." People who have not heard about God, Romans 2:14, "Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law, do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law." Some people may not believe. We still need to pray. We still need to tell them and pray for them. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." God is a judge. It's up to us to be obedient. Matthew 25:34 says, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" Matthew 25:41, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" It's up to us. We need to tell people. It's a serious, sad situation out there in Ventura County. This is our part of the world, so we're in Ventura County. This is where we need to work and tell people. And it doesn't take a lot. It takes, we all go to the store, we all go to our jobs. It just takes paying attention. It takes somebody walking up to you and saying hello, and you introduce yourself, and it starts a conversation. It takes somebody dropping a piece of fruit on the floor in a grocery store, and you pick it up for them. It's nothing. It's a small thing usually that leads us to some conversation. Somebody may say, I need something to eat, and you buy them a hamburger or whatever, and you hand it to them, and you make sure that you say, "This is because of the cause of Christ. I do this because of Christ," so that they know that we're Christians. Because if you don't say that, then you're a philanthropist, and you're just doing it as a good deed because you want to help. So we need to make sure we tell people, and it may not take hardly anything to start the conversation. We don't have to be bold or anything. We just have to realize we're Christians and we have this responsibility. Thank you for allowing me to share the Word of God with you. Please come forward for any reason. Thank you.